Morning, everybody. I don't know if you do it, but every now and then I ponder on what would be a really good church member. What would a good church member look like? No, Rob. Taller, perhaps. There's one person in the Bible, and I think he'd be a great church member, almost. This guy, it's in the New Testament. This guy's passionate. He's so passionate. He's passionate and he gives everything he has. He gives up his job to chase after serving God. He excels in study of the Word, to understand the Word. He becomes a leader and takes people with him. He's almost this perfect church member, except his name is Saul. And in his passion, he pursued and imprisoned Christians and was a part of their death. Okay, so that was a bit of a downside. But there's this chase, this person, Saul, passionately after God, chased after God, gave up everything else to do what he believed is right, and then came to this moment that he realized that everything was wrong. And in this moment, he met Jesus. And in this meeting of Jesus, Saul became Paul. Now, that process wasn't overnight. He went away for about 12 years and was mentored and discipled and came back as Paul. But this passionate, God-fearing person gave up everything, had it wrong, because he was chasing after the legal, religious perspective of who God was, and he missed one really important part, and that's to meet with Jesus. And Paul met with Jesus and everything changed. And we read out of Philippians before that Paul said that he gave up everything in order that he might know Jesus. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ. His perspective, his passion of chasing after God was misled because he didn't know Jesus. And we need to be in that place of knowing Jesus. In the last week and in the coming weeks, I'm talking about worship. And I think one of the most important parts of worship is being intimate with God, knowing God intimately, connecting with him, walking with him. Because as Paul said, all of this stuff that I've done, everything is nothing. It's garbage if I don't know who Jesus is. His life changed, turned over. Now, when you look at Paul as Saul and Paul as Paul and what he did, was it much different? Not really. He still had the passion. He still had the drive. He was still connecting. He was still pushing. But in his heart, he knew that he didn't do it for religious purposes. He didn't do it because he was driven by the law or the culture. He was driven by a love of Jesus. See, man's way to reach God is through religion. God's way to reach man is through Jesus. We create structures and we create places and we create right, wrong, good, bad. We create traditions. We create this in order to help us in our lives. But when we focus on those structures and those traditions, we steal from the purpose of what it is to walk in relationship with Jesus. Religion can help, but religion can also be a stumbling block. Religion is a passageway for us to connect with God. It's not the be-all and end-all. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you were saved through faith, and this is not of your own, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul came to that place of saying, it's not my works, it's not what I do, it's not the things around me, it's God. And Jesus has done what he has done. He has died on the cross. He is resurrected. He has brought healing and wholeness so that I can serve him. His life changed because he served out of a love for Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, rather than a defense of the religion or a practical fight. So we're called to be intimate with God. We're called to walk with God. And I'd like to reflect on what does that word intimacy mean? Because when I say intimacy, we all have weird pictures. Do you like the word weird in there? We have different pictures. I'd like to tell you my picture from the Bible of intimacy. Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. Is that where you thought I'd go? Because we have pictures of intimacy, and often in our pictures of intimacy is with our wife, our husband, or perhaps our family, but it's that connectedness, that really tightness in a family group. But intimacy is so much more than that. And I think in the Bible there's this picture of Adam and Eve, sinless, connected, exploring what it means to be humans, what it means to be in this world that God created. And in the evening, walking with God. That's intimacy, connection. And so when I say intimacy, I'm kind of leaning that way, of that deep friendship, that deep connection, that respect. So when we say intimate with God, maybe that changes the picture that you have. If our picture of intimacy is just between a husband and wife, then that's kind of, for me, weird. If we're called to be intimate with God, then how do we create that sort of relationship? If it's just about what we have with our parents or our kids, then that's a shortening of what that intimacy is as well. But if looking at our intimacy with God to being a really close friend that we sit with, that we walk with, that we respect, that we honour, that we journey with, then perhaps that's a picture that we need to strive for. Because as Christians, as we walk in relationship with Jesus, we're walking in relationship, that intimacy, that connection, that friendship. And now I want to say, this isn't upper level Christianity. This isn't something we aspire to. This is foundational stuff. Foundation for a Christian to walk with God, to walk with Jesus, to be in relationship with Jesus. This isn't something we worked 30, 40, 50 years on to become, although sometimes we need to develop that relationship and develop that intimacy. But this is Christianity 101. This is day one. This is who we are as a people. We walk in relationship. We walk in connection. We walk in intimacy with the God who loves us. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. As we know Jesus, our desire is to know him, to love him, to explore who he is and to become more and more connected with him. Years ago, I went to a conference with a few people, and the speaker was talking about connecting with God and how good it is, and went on and on in a good way. You know, it's not blah, 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 but it was good and it was really motivating. And I remember sitting next to this person, we had a talk, and she said, "Oh, I would love to have a close walk with Jesus. It'd be so good, but I just don't really have the time to spend in prayer and Bible study. And well, maybe I'll get to that next year when I retire." Is that the way we're meant to be? Does it have to be, "I haven't got the time for this, so I'll put it off"? Relationship with God needs to be a foundational to who we are. That intimacy and walk and connection is so instilled in who we are as Christians. It's such a part of us. It's almost a non-negotiable. It's who we are. And we need to find that place of finding time I know when you look at me, you think he is the Adonis of humanity. When I look in the mirror, sometimes I think perhaps I could do some work on this fine physique. Who's laughing? There's times where I look and go, oh, you know, maybe this, if I could push it up a bit, that might be a little better. I'm just saying. Now, I can say that, and is it ever going to change? No, obviously not. Because to make this change, I need to look at my diet, I need to look at my exercise, I need to do exercise. There's things I need to do. And by not doing them, I'm choosing to not look like that. Because I don't diet the way that some might say I could. And I don't do push-ups. I would if the ground was higher. And I don't do crunches because, like, just the name is wrong. And I do eat the wrong food. So by choosing to do those things, I choose to have this near-perfect fatigue, physique. And if I was to go to a personal trainer and say, I want to look like what I see myself looking like, I know he would say, or she, you need to exercise, you need to do this, and you need this, you need to watch your diet, you need this. And I know that's what I do. But I'm not, and I'm choosing to look the way I am. And you might laugh, but I think we're all the same. And by standing there and saying, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm not going to do anything like it, about it, what difference is there? If I sit there and go, I want to know God, but I'm not going to read the Bible, and I'm not going to do Bible study, and I'm not going to pray, and I'm not going to connect with other Christians, and I'm not, what we are saying is, I don't want to connect with God. Is that too harsh? If I'm not connecting with God, it's not God's fault. If I want to just let that naturally happen, it's not going to happen. If I want to chase after God, if I want to know God, if I want to be intimate with God, I need to make choices to make that happen. Our relationship with God is so critical. It's so important. And so often we neglect it and put it to the side. We wait for another time, we wait for another moment, we wait for another time where we can do that, where we can fit it in, when it becomes a priority. But that priority needs to be now. We need to work on friendship, to work on connection, to work on who we are in Christ. Exodus 33:11 says, whenever Moses entered the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. He used to speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What an image. What an image that the people saw that Moses was a friend of God. And that is who God wants us to be. Is that how people would see us? Even is that how we see us? God wants to be our friend. He wants to sit with us. He wants to discuss and to live life together. And he is desiring this if we are willing to step towards him in that. It's easy to blame God for not being connected to us, but that's just making up a reason. God's calling us to know him, to walk with him. God's saying that he wants to be our friend and he wants to know us. Intimacy is so essential to worship. It's so core to worship. If we're to walk in the place of knowing God, then we need to know God. To worship God is a place of knowing who he is and to be able to say, God, this is who you are and I am so grateful for what this is. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus is wanting to reveal to us all things. He's wanting to reveal to us how to live, how to connect, how to forgive, how to heal, how to walk in love, how to understand the world around us, how to understand ourselves. God wants to reveal to us. He wants to teach us. He wants to help us to understand and know. And we will never get to that place if we're not sitting with him and listening. We're called to walk with him. Intimacy with God is all-consuming. It's knowing who he is and responding to the perfection of who he is. Now, when I say intimacy with God in worship, that also conjures up all sorts of pictures. And there's all sorts of understandings of what a worship service could look like and what worship songs are good and what worship songs are bad. And this is a discussion that's been going on for, you tell me, 80 years. The same discussions we're having now, I think some of you older people were having back in the 60s and 70s, weren't we? Because that's what I grew up with. We're constantly arguing about what songs are good and what are bad and what should be sung and what shouldn't be sung and what's my preference. And I know that there's some, as a male, there are some songs which make me feel very uncomfortable. And I remember having a talk with a friend who was talking about this and saying, there's things that I can't get with worship. I don't want to talk about Jesus being my girlfriend. I'm not comfortable with that. That's not who I am. And one of the things he said is, I love my God, I love my eternal Father, but I wouldn't tell him that his name is like honey on my lips. It's not what we men talk, it's not the communication we have. So does that mean we write it all off? Well, no, it doesn't. But it means we need to be wise in the songs we sing and who and what we present, and wise in how we communicate. Because we can have an overly masculine church, and I'm totally generalizing right now. We can have a totally masculine church where you sit down and go, love Jesus, good man. Or we can have a more feminine church, generalizing. Oh, Jesus. And somewhere in between, and not excluding those both ends, is who we are as a people. So we need to find that place of connecting with God, to understand intimacy, to understand who we are as a people in the feminine, in the masculine, and we need to be able to walk in worship in that place. One of the pictures of intimacy, which I find is just amazing, is in the Last Supper. And there's this picture of John reclining against the chest of Jesus. So as they're having dinner and as they're talking and John's reclining and just resting on Jesus. What a picture of friendship and connectedness. Now, males, are we uncomfortable with that? Somewhat. But that's the intimacy of friendship that John experienced with Jesus. And that's the expression of intimacy and friendship that we should be able to express with Jesus as well. We as men often have this unemotional or anti-emotional connection with life, which is not helpful for us. But we then translate that into church and to say the same as church. And we look at the Bible and to say, see, the Bible is about facts and it's about working things out and it's about theology and it's about doctrine. It's about how we treat each other. It's very practical. It is. But it is also so much more. We read these Psalms. Now, David is a bloke's bloke. Not me, the other one, you know, slightly older guy. King David, bloke's bloke. He led armies. Some of my favourite people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, are the mighty men of David. I think they're nuts. They're so cool. They're like, oh yeah, Dave wanted a drink of water and I heard him say that the water at the well there is really cool, so let's go and get some. So they all get together and they massacre a few armies and beat up some people, get a glass of water and take it back and say, Dave, I got your glass of water. Now, that's pretty thick. It's very cool, but it's pretty thick. And David, if we know the story, poured it out and said, I don't want that sort of sacrifice. That's But that meat-headedness is what I see as an aspect of who we are as men. And David was the meathead of the meatheads. Can I say that in church? Too late. So King David was a man's man. King David was brave, he was strong, he was courageous, he was a warrior. And King David also said in Psalm 27, "One thing I ask from the Lord, the one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And in Psalm 84, "How lovely is a dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." We need to be able to find that place of intimacy without the boundaries that we have created on ourselves through our society, through growing up, the expectations that we have, the religiosity that we place on our faith, to be able to find a place of how do we walk in intimacy? How do we find that place of connection with God? And I think that goes a lot of the hymns, not all the hymns, a lot of the hymns are declarations of God. A lot of the hymns are that factual basis stuff, and that's all good. But we also need to find that place of connection and emotion and love, intimacy through worship. So, what does intimacy involve? I love hitting balls. I grew up playing hockey, loved hitting a ball. Played cricket, loved hitting a ball. Didn't mind getting hit by a ball, but that's okay. That's just a weird interlude. I love hitting balls. And the key to hitting a ball is to watch the ball, yeah? So as the ball comes, you see it, you watch it, and you hit it. Now, how do you go hitting a ball blindfolded? I struggle because I've lost my focus. I don't know what's going on. And then when it hits you, it's less pleasant. When we're hitting a ball, keep your eye on the ball. Watch the ball. Hit the ball. Focus on the ball. If we want to be intimacy with God, we need to watch that. We need to focus on that. We need to keep our eyes on that. We need to be directed towards that. We need to live a life of devotion, of connectedness. And if we want intimacy with God, we need to set in place practical ways of knowing God and walking with God. We need to have personal quiet times. We need to find times of sitting with God. Sitting with God outside the clutter and outside the noise and just sit with God. We need to have times of prayer, communication with God. Not saying a prayer, not telling God what he should do, but times of sitting with God, praying, hearing, listening, walking with God. We need to meditate on God, meditate on who he is, what he's doing, to ponder it over and over, and to meditate on his word, to meditate, to listen, to ponder, to ask questions about what that looks like. We need to praise him. We need to say, God, you're good. I am me, you are you, we are not the same, you are my God, and we need to praise him for who he is. It involves a life of devotion, obedience, and worship. It involves sitting in God's presence, of knowing him. We are called to abide in him, not just for a week or a month or a year, but to abide in him our whole lives, to hide in God, to rest in God, to sit with God, to be surrounded by God. That's who we are as Christians. But that's not where we always are. There's things that are going to stop us from being intimate with God. And the first one is a poor self-image. If we see ourselves really poorly, if we look at ourselves and hate ourselves, if we look at ourselves and go, I've got nothing, I'm useless, I'm terrible, then it's going to be really hard to connect with the God who made us and created us. We need to look at our self-image and to say, do I need to change how I see myself, how I understand myself to be, because that'll help us to connect with God. Unexercised belief. There's times where we have a belief, but we haven't worked it through. It's just, oh yeah, I believe that, whatever. And if we just believe that God's good, whatever, then we're not going to develop that. It's not going to be a part of who we are. If we just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't live that way, then we're not going to walk in that place. If we want to walk with God, we need to exercise our belief to understand it and to be able to put it into a core value of who we are. Our self-centeredness. If my life is about me, then it's going to be really hard to know God. Our intimacy with God is going to be disconnected because I am my own focus. If I'm the beginning and the end of all things right and wrong, then where does God fit with that? Our self-centeredness is going to stop us from knowing God. Unresolved relationships with others. God talks about forgiving others. That's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive others as we forgive those around us. We need to walk in forgiveness because our unresolved broken relationships are going to affect us in how we walk with God. Unconfessed sin. If we're walking around with a bucket load of sin in our backpack, then we're not going to want to connect with God. We're not going to be able to connect with God. We need to be able to sit with God and confess what we've done. A rebellious independence. There are many of us that are strong, and we've had to be strong, and we've been strong for all our lives. But if our strength denies God being God in our lives, if we're saying to God, you can be my friend here, but not here, then we're not going to walk in that intimacy. An unresolved disappointment. We all have disappointment in our lives. But if we're not processing it and talking through and trying to understand it, if we're holding on to that disappointment, then that's not going to help us to connect with God at all. There's things that are going to stop us from walking with God or being intimate with God. But there's all those things that are going to bring us closer. And I want to make five statements. And the first statement about intimacy with God is anybody can be closer to God. Anybody can be closer to God. It's our choice to go closer to God. It's our choice to take that step towards Him. Our step to know Him better, to spend time with Him, to understand who He is. The second thing is God desires to be intimate with you, with me. God has done everything He can. Jesus died on a cross so that we can be intimate. Jesus died on a cross so we can connect with Him, so our sin can be forgiven, so we can become friends. Jesus died so that we can be intimate. God says, I want to be intimate with you. It's not Him that's stopping us. The third thing is that you can be intimate with God if you choose to be. If you choose to be intimate with God, you can become closer to Him. A friend is a two-way street. God has taken that step to be our friend if we're willing to take that step towards Him. The fourth thing, you can choose to be closer to God today. There's nothing stopping you from being closer to God. God's opened the way and He's asking us to walk towards Him. And the last thing is you must choose to do the things that foster intimacy. We need to make choices on what we do and how we live our lives. The lady I mentioned before who said, oh, when I retire next year, then I'll get on with it. That's a choice to say, I'm not getting on with it. We can get together today. We can chase after God today. God's looking to be our friend, to walk intimate with Him. And He's asking us to choose to do the right things, to be able to know Him. There's a book written by Marlene Lefevre, and it's called 100 Ways to Take the Yawn Out of Your Relationship with God. So 100 things, I'm just going to look at 10 different things which may help us to know God better. To write a letter to God praising Him for how you are made. To read a biography of a faithful missionary or preacher. Spend time praying that God's presence will be felt by you. Sing a hymn to God, pay close attention to the words. Memorize a chapter in the Bible. Take notes during the sermon and on Sunday afternoon go over them and ask yourself, what does God want me to hear and how does He want me to respond? Pray daily for someone you don't like. Start a neighborhood Bible study, open your house for a study. Write a love letter to God. Now, they're not all things that we're like, but there are ways of choosing to become a stronger relationship with God. But it's our choice to make. It's our journey that we need to walk forward in. Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Is that the cry of your heart? Is that who you are? Are you longing to know God better? Does your soul thirst for who He is? Francis Fajon, who lived in the late 17th century as an archbishop, wrote this, and I want to read this passage out and just reflect on it as we read. We're going to move into a time of communion. And so what I want to do is just to reflect on this, to reflect on your relationship with God and to say, how can I know God better and walk with Him more? Tell God your troubles, that God may comfort you. Tell God your joys, that God may sober them. Tell God your longings, that God may purify them. Tell God your dislikes, that God may help you conquer them. Talk to God of your temptations, that God may shield you from them. Show God the wounds of your heart, that God might heal them. If you thus pour out your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. Take out of the abundance of the heart, without consideration, say just what you think. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved intercourse with God. Let's pray. Father, we love you because you first loved us. We chase you because you first chased us. Father, you are not slow in coming forward to connect with who we are. Father, you desire to be close to us, to be our friend, to walk with us. You desire to be in an intimate relationship with us. Help us to prioritize knowing you, to put forward time to spend with you, to find a place to sit with you. Father, help us to be able to find the integrity of our hearts to be able to confess to you what's really going on, to open ourselves to your healing, to your life, to your future. Father, help us to know you deeply. And Father, help us to heal all those barriers that have stopped us from knowing you in your past so that we can walk into a new place in the future. And Father, as we sit here with our eyes closed and our heads bowed just for a few moments, I ask that you give us a word of encouragement to help us know of the love that you have for us, the value that you have for us. And Father, help us to be able to find a way that we can walk forward in knowing you more deeply and more intimately. Challenge us, encourage us, bring us strength. Help us to know more fully who you are. And Father, help us just in the next couple of minutes to see you more clearly. In Jesus' name.